With NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Episode 9, NFR Extra. I am Nevada Caldwell, your host.
And this is Bo Gardner, your other host.
So we got a lot going on here, don't we?
Man, what a great show.
Cowboy Christmas is just beginning. Reno Rodeo wrapped up. We get to take a couple of minutes and hang out with Wayne Brooks, Wrangler NFR announcer. Take a little time and hang out with two-time world champ Kelly Kaminsky, who is now dealing with the Junior World Finals and bringing in a new event for the Junior World Finals.
Pole bending. Barrel racing and pole bending, Miss Kelly Kaminsky. We also have the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Jacobs Crawley, world champion saddle bronc rider and PRCA chairman of the board. Boy, he has some good stories to tell us.
Yeah, that was a fun conversation. A lot of these fellas and gals that we caught up with are on the road. Yeah. And there's a lot of driving going on for all you contestants out there and everyone part of the rodeo business. So enjoy.
Hi, I'm 23-time world champion cowboy Trevor Brazil, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Follow the NFR Extra podcast by visiting nfrexperience.com, nfrextra.vegas, and now on Spotify, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
This is Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
Arizona native, 8-time Wrangler NFR announcer, 5-time PRCA announcer of the year. Today we have on the show Mr. Wayne Brooks. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Hi, guys. Glad to be on.
Well, we know you're driving down the road with one of your bestest of friends, co-partners. I know you love this guy, Mr. Bob Tallman. We love him also. But you're headed from Reno, which was an amazing rodeo. We'll let you tell us about that all the way up to the Calgary Stampede. So how was Reno Rodeo, sir?
It was incredible. You know, we knew coming into the 100th anniversary that it was going to be a little bit special, and it was not a little bit. It was a lot special. They had numbers that were just off the board, sold out every night. I think we seat about 8,600 people there.
Yep.
And just jam-packed full every night. The weather was incredible. Usually it's, you know, 95 to 100 degrees there every year. And this year is 81, 2, yeah. 3 every day, pretty much. And you needed a jacket at night by the time the performance was over. And just everything that could go right did. And the president, Mike Torvinen, that was at the head of helm of the ship here this year, he was just flabbergasted. I mean, he didn't know which way to turn. Everything was going so well. So from an economic standpoint and ticket sales, you know, some of their sales, like specialty sales, was up 200%.
Isn't that crazy?
I think Montana Silversmith, they sold about 1,400 buckles and we're ordering another 5.
Yeah.
So
they were hoping for that second delivery on Thursday,
That's awesome.
So.
Right. Right, exactly. Everybody wants something that said the 100th on it, and I spent $1,000 myself on posters and programs and all the things that we could. Because
well, I'm sure those posters you bought had your picture in it, so I would have bought them too. So,
well, it did. It was an old throwback to 1919 when it first started. You know, an old bronc riding picture, and just very cool stuff. You know, the 100th only happens one time, and so everybody wanted a little piece of it.
Yes, sir. We were very lucky to have the opportunity to spend that first weekend up there. And just like you said, the weather was amazing. You can tell everybody had a little larger glitch in their step just because it was the 100th anniversary. And you mentioned Mike and the whole staff up there, George Combs, they all just did a phenomenal job. And we were also
incredible.
Yeah, just we were very, very fortunate to see the dedication they had for Mr. Bob Tallman that first weekend. So what was it like announcing with Mr. Legend himself, Bob Tallman? And I heard that the Nevada man now has a statue, which we saw. So tell us about that.
Well, absolutely. You know, and to quote Bob, I said something about on the microphone, you know, one of the reasons that rodeo is so successful is because of him. Yeah. His input, his voice, his demeanor, and all of the things that you need to do to take a rodeo that was two or three performances 40 years ago to 10 of the biggest performances that you could ever have. And I said, gosh, you know, part of the reason that this rodeo is so great is because of you. He said, you know, you got to think of it the other way around. Sometimes it's the rodeo that makes the man.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you might can go 50-50 on either way on that deal, because it has evolved into, you know, quite an incredible, successful animal. And now they're talking about, you know, a $100 million legacy project of a brand new arena right there in downtown Reno.
Right,
so
right.
It, like the NFR in Las Vegas, it has turned in to be one of the largest economic impacts of the year for that area. So with his dedication, his grand marshal of the parade, the big bronze and the bust, and then this was the first year that they had the Hall of Fame, and he was one of the inaugural inductees there.
Yeah.
So, it was incredible. He is Reno Rodeo. He's been there 43 years, so it was incredible.
And you'd said that you guys have been doing this kind of this road gig, leaving Reno and then heading up to Calgary. 20 years you guys been doing that together?
You know, I think it's 18. My wife was pregnant with my son, and he'll be 18 in September, so I think it's 18 years we've been making this little trek, and we're the two most blessed guys in the entire world when you talk about a summer schedule, because we go from Santa Maria, California, to Sisters, Oregon, to Reno, and on to Calgary, and then back down to Salinas. So, I mean, you couldn't ask for any better.
Yeah, and you're doing it during the summer, not during the winter.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to do it. It's a great summer gig, that's for sure. Yes,
you know, we also celebrated, had a little birthday cake for Mr. Reno Rosser, the Flying Eagle. So he's another reason why we make the trip up to Reno, and it's another reason why it makes it so special. So happy birthday, Reno. Of all the 2019 100th anniversary Reno Rodeo champions, is there any one champion or maybe even a couple champions that stand out to you, sir? Who would you like to throw out there?
Well, absolutely. You know, you take the NFR veterans and the world champions like Chad Masters, and those are no surprises. Those guys are rock solid and just They're hard to beat no matter what.
Yep.
So J.D. Strussness in the steer wrestling, Chad Masters, Joseph Harrison in the team roping, Sage Kimsey, of course, in the bull riding, all of those are no surprise.
Right.
However, Leighton Berry, great young talent coming up in the ranks in the bareback riding. He just was on fire this week and knocked him out. Ty Harris in the tie-down roping, same thing. Good young talent. There was a couple other young guys right there at the very last. Had a shot, and just the day didn't work out. You know, and that's how ended up winning that deal. And then Eddie Hurst, the barrel racer, all smiles and all bubbly, getting to the inner circle where she could collect her spurs and be recognized as the champion. She was just so excited, and that's great to see. That emotion is one of the most important things in my world that I love to see. The world, you know, everybody dreams about it. It doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it's an incredible deal.
Wow, Wayne, to experience that alongside with your buddy, Mr. Bob Tallman, and you said that, in quoting Bob Tallman, that it could be the rodeo making the man or the man making the rodeo. But so, what's your favorite part about announcing the Reno Rodeo? I mean, here's a rodeo, like you said, sold out every night during their 100th anniversary, and a lot of things happening every night. Just maybe one highlight that you had during this year's 100th anniversary.
Well, I'm going to fall back on the word that I just said a moment ago, and it's about emotion.
Yeah.
There's a feeling there that is hard to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to have that feeling, and it's just really hard to build. So when you have the fire in the sky, sunset, 75 degrees, full grandstands, and 25 mares and colts run through that arena, and the crowd cheering them on, there's no feeling in the world like that. And it creates an emotion within your body that you just can't explain.
Yeah. So I, you know, the first weekend there and both nights that I was there, there was such a quiet in the crowd before the national anthem. Like you said, when that flag came out, and if that doesn't make the hairs on your arm stand up, I truly don't know what will. But I definitely hear the emotion word, and I think you hit it right on the head there, sir. So
absolutely, that American flag, the American Colts. We broke the record of the broadcasting twice this year, from a 91 to a 91.5 to a 92, and oh my gosh, you could just write a nice little book on just the 1 year, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you always, every year you go to visit the renowned Children's Hospital, bringing the rodeo to them. So what does that mean to you?
You know, I that's only my first, maybe my second time to do that.
Okay.
And golly, it's an eye-opener. It really is. The guy that I thought about the whole time that I was in that hospital was Billy Bob Brown. He's a team roper who was born with a birth defect in his heart, and they thought he was going to die.
Oh, wow.
He spent a long time in children's hospitals as a baby. Mm. And now today, as he travels around the country, he goes and visits several children's hospitals at a lot of the towns that they end up going to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had no idea of the fight that goes on in those children's hospitals, and I do now. And I was scared to death a little bit and worried a little bit. And then after we got through it and out of there, I thought, my gosh, I can't believe we haven't done this every year for the last 20 years. And I intend to from now on, because one of those kids said, you know, I've got the greatest room in the hospital because I get to see the fireworks. And
that's awesome.
It makes you pay attention for sure.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. Well, all right, let's switch gears here about what's coming up or what's going on, and reflecting back when we had you on last, Wayne. So when we had you on last, we talked about the rodeos, the impact of the new dollars, you know, Casey winning $95,000 and kind of where things could go with that. We didn't know what was to come, right, as we were talking.
Yeah, we didn't know if he was going to take a break or what he was going to do.
And then, bam, you know, concussion, out. Oddly enough, that did apply. You were definitely hanging out with Nostradamus or somebody, Wayne, and being around this stuff to see the difference in that. And here he is now. You know, we're still waiting for him to kind of get going, but he's still at number one after Reno.
It's funny about him up because I'm looking at my call list here, and he's on my call list. He's trying to see what's going on because I think it's about time that he's healed up good enough to get back in the game. But Casey Field and Sage Kinsey, those kind of guys are one in a million. Incredible athletes, focused, mentally fit, physically fit, and so hard to beat. You know, I feel sorry for the 18-year-olds that are coming into the game right now in the bareback riding and the bull riding, because they have a tall order to beat those two kind of guys. So I believe Casey will be back 110%, and I think he's going to win three or four more world titles.
Well, and it's, you know, to your point, and also Paul Hemus was on here a while ago, and he was saying that, you know, how this kind of played out, where these guys get to be positioned, whereas now we get to kind of, it's almost like a mid-season, right? It's almost becoming with those dollars. Now the Cowboy Christmas is kicking off. Here we go. Get to see a bit of change and what's going to happen by the end of July, which I'm sure there's going to be massive changes. Good thing is Casey's in the thick of it, and he's able to kind of nurture himself right back into this flow of things. So it's going to be interesting.
You bet. If he can come back in the next few weeks and get a little bit of that Cowboy Christmas money, there's millions and millions of dollars on the line over the 4th of July. And, you know, he can ride at 75% and still beat him most of the time.
That's
crazy.
And
again, proof to the point of a young guy that won there in Reno, Leighton Berry.
Leighton.
But watch out for Casey Field. When he comes back, he's going to be mashed.
That's awesome.
So you mentioned briefly your rodeo schedule and what lies ahead in July and August, and you have a couple key stops tell us what your schedule looks like, sir. And you know, you also mentioned this on your call list. So that was very interesting that you had Casey on your call list. So who else is on your call list?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Clovis, California, and they're putting together some committees to gather the California rodeos together and make a strong group that they can all work together, all share ideas. You know, the NFL has profit sharing. I think rodeo in California is so strong that they want to gather together, and I need to have a conversation with him and get some contacts with him and things like that. But great schedule coming up here for the summer. We go Calgary, Salinas, Helena, Montana, Heber City, Utah. Then I'll run home and take the motor home back to the house and then start flying and then go to Canby, Oregon, Tremont, Utah. And then the September run includes Elk City, Oklahoma, Pendleton, Oregon, and there. So we've got, you know, from May 15th to middle of October, it's very, very full. And again, I thank the good Lord up above. We're very blessed to have it.
Absolutely.
Well, I tell you what, this is fantastic, Wayne. I, you know, as always, came on the show, set the stage, and truth be told, a lot of things we talked about back in March definitely unfolded, and here we are again. We're looking at this midway season and what's getting ready to unfold. So, thank you for coming on, and safe travels. I would love to. Do you and Mr. Tallman, do you have like a Smokey and the Bandit type? Are you guys using any kind of walkie-talkies, anything to communicate back and forth on the road? Or is it just all silence because you guys talk majority of the time during the rodeos?
No, I'll tell you what, if you know Bob Tallman any little bit at all, you know that he talks a lot. So we get on the phone and we just leave the phone and just visit as we go down the road.
Beautiful.
So it's a good thing.
Beautiful. Well, sir, thank you so much for making the time and being who you are. We love being around you. We love hearing you. And we look forward to our next call. So be ready. We'll make that call. Thank you again.
Absolutely, absolutely. My phone's on 24 hours a day, 365. So you guys call anytime.
Safe travels, Wayne.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys.
You bet.
Vegas awaits, so book your hotel now at nfrexperience.com.
Hi, I'm world champion bull rider Sage Kimsey, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Two-time world champion, two-time reserve world champion, five-time NFR qualifier, and now you have a new title. Producer for the Junior World Finals.
What?
Welcome to the show, Kelly Kaminsky.
Miss Kelly Kaminsky.
Thank you. Woo.
Everybody, you can stop cheering now.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We've been working on the road and then also hitting some rodeos and stuff. So we're kind of rocking and rolling. You know, I wear many hats.
Hey, when you say we, what do you mean we?
Well, I'm hauling with my daughter, Kenna. And we're fixing to start the Cowboy Christmas run.
One.
It is right.
Oh. So I got a real thank you. First of all, thank you for coming on the show,
Absolutely.
Kelly.
Absolutely.
Let's just dive into a couple of things here. What is it like working with the youth and developing this overall, this movement with rodeo that's happening that we've seen at Cowboy Christmas, and I mean not the Cowboy Christmas, it's going to go down, but the one in Vegas every year that
yes.
they want to.
With this, yeah. Miss Kelly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's really kind of been a natural progression for me because I have an extensive background working with kids. You know, mm-hmm. I was a middle school teacher for 10 years. I taught clinics around the world, and I've been teaching and coaching kids in barrels and poles for years. And then I was an executive director for our high school region rodeo, and I've worked with our Little Britches group that we had. And so I've done it for a long time, and I've produced barrel races as well. So it just kind of all came together, and I've always wanted to do something special for the kids that, you know, to kind of make them have a feel of what it's like to make the finals and be in Vegas and kind of have just a little bit of a touch of that and sort of do it in a responsible way where we bring them up to where, you know, it's overwhelming when they get there because, of course, you know, it's such a great production and we have them sign autographs and all that kind of stuff. But It's been a lot of fun, especially, you know, seeing some of these kids grow, not only as people individually, but as riders as well.
So since obviously you've been,
she has a long resume.
Yes, you do. You've obviously you've taught, you've won, you've done everything that needs to be done within the rodeo business, which now you have a lot of experience. Seeing what you're seeing with a lot of these young ladies, are you, do you see any of these ladies with, they have what it takes to make it to the Thomas Mack Center and compete for that gold buckle?
Oh yeah. I totally believe we're going to see some of these kids that we have run down the alley at the Thomas and Mack. You know, we've got a bunch of really talented kids, and I'm not just saying, you know, the ones that are mounted on great horses. I'm just saying the ones there are some that have some amazing horsemanship skills. And that's why, you know, I do the qualifiers the way I do, is because we pay it out in a 4D, but we take the fastest kids to the finals. But, you know, when you pay in a 4D, which if you're in barrel racing, you understand that format.
Oh, yeah.
It gives kids
5D, 3D. Yeah, I know them all.
Yeah. And we're building up their confidence skills, but we're also building up kids that they may not be mounted right now, you mm-hmm. know, but they're getting there and they're getting that experience in, you know, so it gives everybody a chance to win at our qualifiers and our, you know, qualifying series of barrel races. But, you know, there's some kids that they're being taught not only how to ride balanced, they're learning how to read the ground and the arena and pay attention to their horse's needs. You know, they're also getting that mental attitude and being humble when they're winning and also when they're losing. You know, you've got to learn how to lose too. So the parents and our parents are so instrumental in teaching that, these situations, you know, and that's one of the things that when I have a meeting with the parents, I talk to them about that. I kind of mm-hmm. coach the kids and the parents, you know, going through this whole experience that we have together.
So, all right, since you're sent up the town, we asked the question. Obviously, you've been seeing a lot of these ladies, and you know the names. Besides your daughter,
McKenna,
who else do you think, or maybe even two names that you see right now? You know, because we all want our kids to do well. Like, they ask me about my kid, he's the best.
We
got to
exclude
ever.
That one.
But
of course, mine's the best. No, I'm just kidding.
Give us a couple names, like some. No, names
that are
coming
up. I totally get that. I'm probably more of a realist about a lot of things. But, you know, I don't want to, like, throw out names out there because we have quite a few that I, you know, but I don't want to, like, miss out on somebody else that I forgot or anything like that. But we really do have a talented pool of kids. The ones that I look at mainly right now are the older kids, because they're the ones that are going to be getting their permits and filling them and going into pro rodeos, which we've already been seeing that over the last couple mm-hmm. years. You know, our current senior champion that won the trailer this year, she was running in the same set as Kenna at Reno the other day. So, you know, we're seeing that, and it's exciting for me to see these still, you know, getting their dream as well. So it's like a great stepping stone.
So exciting, isn't it? I mean, even as a mother, as a coach, you know, to be able to watch and see that progression with your students is just absolutely amazing.
I mean, it's like I've told you personally before, Bo. Mm-hmm. Every kid that runs down that alley is my kid.
Yep.
And I feel that's how I felt when we did high school rodeo. That's how I felt when we did Little Britches rodeo with the kids. You know, that's how I felt. I feel like anything because of that adrenaline rush and I've been the little girl that wasn't mounted as well, or I've been I've been every one of those. And so to me, I take it on. And of course, you know, we've had that conversation. Are you taking it on too much to heart? And I probably do because I love my sport and I do love kids and I want to see them progress and have a hand in watching our sport progress and these kids grow up. It's neat.
Yep. So
it's pretty cool to have my own kid involved too.
It is.
You know,
it is. Sure, it is. More personal. Absolutely.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. NFRExperience.com. You can check out Junior World Finals. You click on that, you can see all the producers with all their schedules, and they hit a minimum of 12 qualifiers per year. And so, Miss Kelly, with two events, with pole bending and barrel racing, what are some of the places you'll be heading for the qualifiers? Because you would not believe the calls we get in to this office, and we keep having them refer to...
He's not kidding.
No, to the website. How do I get my kid, and where can I go? Yeah. And so if you could kind of give your two cents on the best direction.
Okay. Well, they can go to our website, which is kkrunforvegas.com. Mm-hmm. And the schedule is on there. We, for the rest of this year, we have one in Montana on Tuesday, which is tomorrow. The books are closed on that one. We have one coming up in Utah, and then we'll have one in Las Vegas, one in Washington, Clovis, New Mexico, and I think we have one in Lexington, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So those are coming up. We've already been to, let's see, where have we been? We've been to Mississippi, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Texas, Arkansas, wow. Oklahoma. We've been everywhere.
It's a lot of the country.
We go as much as we
yeah.
So have you done a summary page and said, okay, we're hitting this many states and we have this many entries? Have you kind of done an overview analysis of where you're going and maybe what you could change for the future?
Yeah, we're probably, you know, we have so many, the demand for people wanting to hold a race.
Mm-hmm.
Or a qualifier. And so we're looking at going more towards a point-based system, whereas before we take so many kids, the fastest kids, and then we take the top 10 point earners across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of looking at if we can add, the only way we can add more races, because as you know, we have a limited amount of time and space
sure.
up there at the Wrangler Arena.
Mm-hmm.
So the logistics would be to add more races and have more point kids, as opposed to just kind of staying there at our 21 qualifiers that we have. Mm-hmm. So those are things that we're looking at for next year. We'll put something out there in the next couple of months.
Nice. All right. Let's switch gears here or events, I guess, if you'll say, how is the new addition with pole bending? Are we going to see, and I'm going to be learning a lot myself this whole year. Are we going to see a miraculous 19-second finish in pole bending? Is that possible?
Oh yeah, we've already had 19-second qualifiers. You know, we had our first one was we had Jordan Driver in Texas ran a 19.5, I believe,
mm-hmm.
at the qualifier. We had somebody in Mississippi, and forgive me for not remembering names, ran a 19. So we are seeing them. We're seeing some phenomenal runs. Pole bending is such an amazing horsemanship plus speed. I mean, it's right up there with one of my favorite events, and I'm so excited to be able to add that. It's such a great horsemanship event, and, you know, it really teaches the kids to sit centered, and it really, you have to really know what you're doing and kind of know how to weave in and out. It looks so deceivingly simple, like barrels. I mean, it's technical as well.
Now,
I totally believe we will.
Now, just this is me as a fan looking from the outside in. It also looks like a great way to train. Like, so if you're for horsemanship style, I look at that just no different than like my son plays club soccer and they run those kind of drills where they're running in, inside and out, kind of building up your, mm-hmm. your lateral game and whatnot. It seems like that could be good. I'm just going to throw it out there for tie down for any folks that actually have to handle that horse pretty well. It just seems like that's a great type exercise to handle the horse. Is that as well?
For sure. You know, it's funny you bring that up because every horse that we train for barrels, we train in poles as well.
Mm.
And, you know, the great Mary Berger, she says the same thing. And you know, and it's funny because I remember years ago, you know, my mentor in rodeo was Ronnie Seawalt, who is a calf roper. And he used to say the same thing about that for kids, you know, being able to do all those speed events when they're younger really makes them better as they're older for whichever events they go for. because it makes them a better, more balanced rider.
Oh, yeah.
And for the horses, it teaches them to hold their shoulders up when they're turning and use their hind quarters more. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of horses nowadays that people are just like running and then they just kind of pull them. Everybody's got a different style. But the horses that actually use those hindquarters and stay up underneath themselves and stay balanced, those are the ones that can stand up on pretty much any kind of ground. You know, you've got to teach them to do that. Here I am being a teacher again. Sorry.
That's all good. Mama and teacher.
It never stops.
It doesn't stop. So the that addition of pole bending and the opportunity to win an all-around trailer for the Junior World Finals, what or have you heard any rumblings? Has any of your contestants had this conversation? Have you heard anything from your side?
Not really. You know, I think they're just so excited to be going to Vegas and have the opportunity. I think that, you know, it'll really hit them when we get there. As we get the qualifiers going and everything, this year we just kind of did just to kind of get started, we did like we did with our barrel racing. We're going to take so many off the top, the fastest kids qualify. And so we take the top four times. We'll start probably doing more point-oriented with them as well so we can add more qualifiers and races in next year. So, you know, I think it's just mainly getting started and everybody's so excited about it. It's been really good. Certain places they're kind of like, what do you mean they're going to have pole bending? So and once they get there and see how exciting that whole production is and just the whole experience. And that's what I talk to a lot of people about that too. It's not always just about what the prizes are and the carrots dangling out there. It's about, you know, networking and meeting people and meeting new friends from across the country. And it's been fun to be able to see, like on Facebook, I see, you know, this parent got together with this parent, you know, somebody from Texas and California, and these kids are best friends now and they got together over spring break.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that makes my heart warm because that's what rodeo's about too,
yep.
You know?
Yep. So Miss Kelly, are you still jumping on a horse and running around barrels?
I am, but I'm mainly the, right now I'm the seasoner. That's what I call myself. I'm the seasoner and the coach. So if you see me, running at rodeos right now, I'm either running a backup horse or the seasoning horse. And I've got it. We have several at home that are young and I've got some that are kind of earmarked for me that, I'm really excited about for the future, but I'm really, you know, I'm so involved with the Junior World Finals and what we do that, you know, my focus is not to make the finals. It's basically to help my daughter and coach her and everything. And so, yes, I am running. If you see me running, that's what I'm doing.
We all have to stay in shape, right?
Yeah, we all got to stay in shape, you know, and it's fun for me to, you know, it's really rewarding to get out here and cheer on my kid and see her grow into a great horsewoman herself. And, you know, she's her main horse right now, she's bought and trained and she was supposed to sell it for college money. And she, of course, didn't. So here we are.
It's that attachment. I'm learning about that.
Well, and it's, you know, I mean, she's ended up being a really phenomenal horse.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't come along every day, you know.
Well,
they got to have that mindset and the athletic ability.
Well, yeah, 100%. And, you know, we're obviously along this podcast, we're learning a lot about that as it pertains to the athlete and as well as the horse. Well, this was, man, first of all, thank you for coming on the show, Kelly.
And Kelly, you were not nervous.
You were fantastic on here. You were great. You shared a lot of great information. Like if I was a parent looking at, you know, this scenario and become very interested in it, you painted a pretty good picture for what I'm getting into as a parent. Yeah. Which is, as you know, is important because we're the ones that pay the the registration fees and everything else to make sure everything happens.
But
this was great. This was really good.
So thank you very much. And I know you've done a lot of interviews for whether it's a blogger calling you or this NFR Extra deal. Just, you know, hey, thank you for being a team player and being on the team, and we love having you and love hearing from you.
And there'll be a lot more interviews.
Yes, this is not your last one.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed this opportunity to work with the kids in Las Vegas events, and it's really been so much fun for me. There's days that I probably have more gray hair than, you know, I did before, but for the most part, I absolutely love it, and I love having a hand in the future of our sport. And thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for letting me be able to talk about it.
Absolutely. So I can blame the gray hair on what I'm doing then, right?
Yes.
It's not my age.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's a section in the grocery store that can take care of all that.
I haven't walked down that aisle. I don't know where it is.
Oh, of course not.
Well, thank you, Miss Kelly, and we'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Uh-huh. Have a great day.
You bet.
Hi, I'm world champion Jacob Scrawley, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Follow the NFR Extra podcast by visiting nfrexperience.com, nfrextra.vegas, and now on Spotify, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Envy, guess who we have on the show today?
We're excited about this one.
We have a gentleman by the name of Jacob Scrawley, a world champion saddle bronc rider and 8 trips and counting to the Thomas and Mack for the Wrangler NFR. Jacob is also chairman of the board for the PRCA, and he's driving down the road at this time. So, Mr. Jacob Scrawley, welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good over here.
We're excited to have this conversation with you and hope we hear a couple good stories and let us know what the everyday life is for you as you live out Cowboy Christmas through the summer months.
Yeah, this is starting to get busy. You know, it started with Reno, and we've kind of been at it for the last few days now, and we've still got another week of solid rodeo and driving, and it's just something cowboys come to expect, you know, at this time of year.
So real quick, Jacobs, how is your season going? How are you feeling about the possibilities you making it to a, I guess we'd say a ninth, right?
Ninth time.
Ninth NFR.
Yeah.
Don't want to jinx it, but I mean, just how are you feeling about everything right now on the road?
I feel good. You know, I'm healthy at this point for the most part. You know, I've got a few bumps and bruises, but nothing out of the ordinary. And so, this is just kind of the time of year. I think I'm somewhere around 6th or something, like 6th or 7th. So kind of right there in the thick of it, that you just keep going. And like I said, we're all entered up and plenty of opportunities, and you just got to use the ones that, you know, come your way. So, I feel great. I'd love to get back to a ninth qualification out there for the finals, and it, that's every Cowboys goal when we start the year. So, we're on track for it and just not ready to let off the gas.
So, as we know, once Reno ends, Cowboy Christmas begins. How was Reno? Obviously it's up north. It's a good partner of ours, and it's all within the state of Nevada. So, how was the Reno rodeo?
Reno was a great rodeo. I mean, Reno's always a great rodeo. It didn't treat me as well this year as it has in years past. You know, we still had a lot of fun, and my little brother did well over there. He, he placed in short round and placed in the average, stuff like that. So,
Mr. Sterling.
It's a great rodeo.
And, yeah.
Yeah, Sterling.
Yeah.
Sterling, yeah.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good in the standings.
I think he's qualified 5 times to the finals. He's going for his 6th this year. Who I travel with 99% of the time.
So, is he with you now?
He's not. He was in Ponoka, Alberta. And he's meeting me in Cody, Wyoming. So I'm driving through Montana right now, and he's headed south from Alberta.
So do you guys, and because just paying attention to you two over the standings of the past, 8 years, 7 years, whatever, how does it go with you guys as far, because you guys in tandem make the NFR? And do you guys, does it go back and forth, brotherly love, about who's what and where and the standings?
What do you share and what don't you share with your brother?
Well, we're pretty much an open book as far as that goes, kind of deal. You know, the whole brother against brother thing, like, in the rodeo side of it, like, we pull for one another, like, absolutely 100%, couldn't be more supportive. But, like, in anything else, we want to crush the other person. Like,
right.
if it's golf, if it's pool, if it's, I mean, anything, throwing rocks into a lake or whatever, like, we want to beat the other brother, you know, as bad as we possibly can. But in rodeo, we really pull for one another, and that's what makes rough stock kind of unique, is that, like, you know, you're just kind of going against the animal, and so you can, it makes it a lot easier to pull for your friends or your brother and stuff.
So you compare notes. If you know your draw, you know the livestock, you compare those notes, you root for him when he's doing his ride, but when it comes down to it, you're like, I got to kick this guy's butt.
In anything else, other than rodeo, and anything, we always say we want to tie everything in rodeo. Like, we can split first, but like anything else, absolutely, we want to kick the other one's butt.
I could see how it would help. I mean, but on a positive note, right? Like, that probably helps you guys out. You got your biggest fan sitting there, kind of, you know, hey, you did this wrong, Jacobs, or you did that. I saw how you did this coming off, right? Like, I'd imagine you guys have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, and then if you've been with, you know, as close as we are for as long as we have, you know, no one knows you better than that other person. You know, I mean, this is a guy that I've spent as much time as I have since we were little kids, you know, growing up rodeoing, and then our entire bronc riding careers and everything. And so no one knows you better other than, you know, yourself, would be your brother that sees you at 100-something times a year. Yeah. So it is good. And it's that support system that's always there. You know, that's what's so much fun about making the NFR together. It's just like you spend, you know, almost half of your year together and going to rodeos, this, that, and the other. And so whenever you cap it off at the end result, that get in the locker room, that's just what's made it really cool over the years, being there together.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling.
So what do you guys do together as a break? I mean, if you're traveling together, you're going down the road, you've got a couple days to yourselves, what do you and Sterling do together to have a little bit of fun?
That's just it. We like to have fun. So, I mean, you're stuck out in, like, Montana or wherever we're at. I mean, we're going to, you know, we'll go fishing in the daytime, playing music at night, relax and, you know, take the edge off of an evening kind of thing. And it's, but just all in all, we have fun. We don't get too worked up, and there's no room for, you know, if things aren't going great, there's no room for any kind of negative attitude. So you just got to enjoy it. And you got to remember that, you know, we're going to get older someday, and we're not going to be able to do this and live this lifestyle. And, there's no point in, you know, dragging the ground, you know, kicking dirt around, you know, being negative right now. So it's we're all upbeat. We like to have a lot of fun. We play a lot of pranks on one another. We really like to find a third party to gang up on. And so that's kind of what we've done for our careers. You know, it's been a lot of fun. And
so is there someone that you and your brother typically like to pick on when you go to these rodeos and you're playing a prank? There's nobody nobody's a target. Is everybody's a target?
Anybody other than ourselves. So it's one of those things that it just changes often, you know, but we had a lot of fun. We've, you know, always done everything together. So it just, we kind of know what the other one's going to, you know, say and do to the, you know, whatever we get to, you know, teasing or something like that. You know, it just goes back to, I don't know, we always have fun at, like, the fashion show there in Vegas, and we'll be silly and stuff like that, and, like, I don't know, we just try and make the most of every little event that we can, and do it all pretty lighthearted for the most part.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, just knowing, because we have a lot of peers that go to that show, the Crawley Brothers are a big form of entertainment that everybody looks forward to, just so you know, and I think you already know that, but yeah.
Well, it is, there has been no, choreographing done. It is all improv. It is nothing. The planning takes place about 20 minutes before we actually walk out there. And so it's like, hey, what are we going to do when we get out there kind of thing? And so the ladies that run the show, they kind of let us kind of just do whatever we want. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But like I said, they asked us to do that the first time, and I said, yeah, we'll do it, but we can't take it serious. Like, I'm 5'7" redhead. I'm not for the runway, boys. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'll have fun and I'll do what I need to do, but you're not going to get me walking out there to that In Vogue song or whatever that one was, about the runway or not. But,
so we heard you had a little story to tell. Something happened in Reno.
Oh, you mentioned Reno earlier and travel and stuff. This happened a couple years ago,
uh-huh.
But we were in Pecos the night before, and we were driving to Reno for the next day, and that's about 20 hours or something like that. And so you don't have a whole lot of time to spare. And we used to rodeo in an old ambulance, and we had gutted the back of it. It had like bunk beds, pull out couch, TV, all that kind of stuff. It was just an RV, but it was an ambulance shell, and we had rock star rims on it and all this, and painted it black. I mean, we thought we were pretty cool. This is years ago.
Traveling in style. Yeah.
Yeah. We thought we were pretty cool stuff. And anyways, so we were driving to Vegas from there. We're in between Reno and Vegas, where mm-hmm. there's
nothing.
Nothing. Right. Absolutely nothing.
Aliens.
And we had hit a couple cattle guards going pretty quick, going out of crosshair. And so we're in the middle of that deal, and all of a sudden, like, the vehicle starts kind of rattling. And I say, Sterling, do you feel that? And about the time we say that, we look at one another, and our outside dual passed us going down that highway.
Oh, no.
And because I had slowed down, I was like, all right, we need to check out what that rattle is. And as I slowed down and veered off, the other tire just kept on going straight down the highway. And cars were pulling over trying to dodge. I mean, it rolled for a couple hundred yards. And we got it over just to the shoulder just before it fell off the rim. And we had to walk a few hundred yards down there and go get that tire and roll it back. And, oh, my God, we were stuck on the side of the road for probably 3 hours. We like took four lugs off. Yet we had sheared everything on the one side, and so then we had to turn out of Reno. Obviously, we didn't make the first turf, and to get to where the tow truck was going to meet us. We had to like limp the van back, and there was a gas station, like the one gas station. And anyways, all we had was Red Bull in the vehicle until we could get to the gas station. So we were drinking hot Red Bulls for like 2 hours. Ooh. In the idea that we thought it would hydrate us, and it did the exact opposite. All it did was like make us miserably dry mouth and everything else like that. And so we ended up driving the van though for like 6 miles for 6 hours at like 6 miles an hour.
Oh, no.
Trying to get back 40 down the road. And like, so just on the shoulder limping in as if we had twisted the axle. Anyways, but apparently the rims weren't approved for the weight that we had put on them, and we didn't get all this stuff checked. I don't know. We just thought they looked cool, so we put them on the back and stuff. And we, long story short, yeah, we just had gotten to certain things like that. We rented a car, drove to Reno for the second round the next day from Vegas.
But, and how did you do?
We both placed the second round.
There you go.
So it made it all worthwhile. Yeah. And so it just, you're talking about Reno and traveling and stuff like that. And I was like, those are just the things that happen along the way that you got to get used to over the years.
Oh man, that's good. So, okay. We don't want to take you up, and we know you're on the road. Lastly, we want to know, so the Cowboy Christmas has begun. How many rodeos are you hitting this month or over the next 10 days? What's your schedule look like?
We've got pretty much just a rodeo a day. So not too crazy. We've done the crazy.
Yeah, that's not crazy.
No.
Rent,
no.
Do get the plan. Yeah, exactly. No, you're telling me, especially when you tack in 13 hours of driving in between. Oof. Like, the only reason I say that it's not too crazy is just because you can push it a little bit more if you want to.
Oh, man.
But I like to keep my feet on the ground as much as I can. I get tired of all the flying, especially when you got to go commercial back and forth. I mean, it just wears you out.
Yep.
And so we've kind of got it set to where we just got driving, you know, a rodeo each day and for the next week, and then we'll go up to, you know, we'll go up to Canada for a week and then come back down, go to Cheyenne and all those great rodeos down here at the end of July. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty easy setup, and I think a little bit of that comes with age. Like I said, this is my 9th or 10th year to be doing it, you know, full time and pushing Cowboy Christmas. And so over the years, I've kind of found out what works best for me, and that's just not getting too crazy where I can. Just, you know, interrupting the ones and pick the ones, you know, that you know you like to go to, and just try and win them when you get there.
Man, that's... I mean, trust me, we work, we do all kinds of great stuff, but a rodeo a day, wow.
Driving.
And the driving, yeah.
So what you're going
to... Yeah, you know, 15 hours is about the average trip.
Wow.
So, you know, 15 hours doesn't sound that long until you do it about 4 days in a row. Then you're like, oh my gosh.
So. We were just talking about this in the office, and also this is the other thing that a lot of people don't talk about. They just see the end result of you riding or some highlight or something like that. So you do all that, you take that time for less than 10 seconds of a performance a night, right? Like when you kind of quantify.
Oh, yeah. It's
it's amazing.
And I guess you just get used to it, because if you step back and you try and like process that, like logically, you know, like being worth it and things like that, it really, it's tough. It's tough to make people understand. We had some guys with ESPN Magazine ride around with us for a little bit and did a bit over Sports Illustrated, I can't remember, but they were, anyways, that was the toughest thing to get across to them, was that all the driving that goes on for 10 seconds of just a little blip of something, you know, and, you know, because any other sport or anything like that, you know, you've got time to make corrections, and, you know, it's a 2-hour game, hour and a half, you know, game, whatever it may be, you know, so it's not just crushed into 10 seconds of action, you know. And so,
well, just like you said, you play these mental games and those long drives between events, and you just really don't know what direction you're headed. So I mean, I couldn't even fathom that.
No, I can't even wrap my mind around it.
How do you stay healthy?
Yeah.
Whew, you just get tough with that, I guess, you know. That's part of it. Also, the drive is the icing session. You usually ice on the drive for the first little bit, and you can ice up a morning. And if you get any kind of time, you try and get out of the van and run, do something just to, you know, move around, you know, basically. If you can find a place to go jog or something like that, I got to try and do that at least once every few days, because after those kind of drives in the van and, you know, the all-nighters and stuff like that, they start to stack up on you. Like I said, Saddle Bronc Rider is like in dog years, so like I'm 31, so it's one of those things that, you know, I feel like I'm 51 sometimes if I'm crowded in the van for 5 days in a row. I'm getting too old for that game.
Where do you eat? How do you plan your meals?
When you stop, you eat. And,
beef jerky? What do you eat? Bob Tallman's beef jerky?
No.
Does he load you up? Or?
I live on coffee and water, essentially, is what I do.
Oh, my Lord.
Coffee, water, you know, breakfast sandwich in the morning, Subway at lunch, and hospitality, hopefully, at the rodeo. That's what it's like. So
do you choose the rodeos based on the hospitality or still the money added?
You don't, but you certainly perk up. You know, like, if I'm going to a rodeo I know that's got good hospitality, you're like, hey,
we
don't need to eat until we get to the rodeo, because they got good grub over there.
I am not stopping at Subway.
I notice that rodeos, it's usually
tacos. We can do without the eat fresh today.
Yeah, at the rodeos, it's usually like what? Tacos,
barbecue,
yeah. Right? And that kind of
thing. Rodeos? Oh, you never know. Sometimes there'll be some, like, they'll do like home cooking style stuff.
Nice.
I mean, they'll have all kinds of sides and salads. I mean, it's like some of it's really nice. And it's just like,
yeah.
Like you said, you can drive by the sandwich joint. if you got that at the end of it.
Jacobs, we really will never understand how the day in and day out life of a cowboy on the road, a contestant, a qualifier for the NFR, what you need to do and how, what do you have to put into it. We will never understand all of that. But my Lord, man, you do it. And then you also have the role of the chairman of the board for the PRCA. How do you manage that schedule?
Yeah, seriously.
That's planning, I guess. So my first year of full-time rodeo, I was a full-time student at Texas A&M engineering program. So this is all I've kind of known is the scheduling process. And so you just set that time aside. You know, like I said, on these long drives, I just put my little Bluetooth headset on and make phone calls and, you know, take care of stuff like that. And then whenever you get to the rodeo, you focus on the rodeo and you just kind of, biggest thing is compartmentalize everything and go from there.
Yeah, you guys got to consolidate
that's
your
the biggest
steps.
Thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't consolidate your steps, you're going to be chaotic and all over the place. And sounds like you do.
Right, right.
Wow.
Well, you keep it fun. You know, I guess that's how you get through it. You have a great partner with your brother. You obviously winning makes the next drive a lot easier.
That heals a lot of those bumps and bruises.
It sure does.
Yeah, coming up empty paychecks going from road to road, that would be a lot of thinking there.
No, that's how you get burned out pretty quick.
Yeah.
No, but if you can win a little bit along the way and have fun seeing your buddies, this, that, and the other in the new town, I mean, that's great. I think it was like 113 whenever I left Texas the other day. You know, I'd say the other day, like 2 weeks ago. So it's like the options are be in Texas and work through that summer heat or go rodeo and travel around and places where you wear jackets at night.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yep. Well, now you're driving through the beautiful city of Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, man, that's beautiful down there.
Yeah.
That's God's country.
Well, now I'm in between there. I'm out of there now.
Oh?
Yeah. Whenever we started this deal, I'm almost
oh, my gosh, we've been on that long.
Now. we got to keep rolling. Yeah.
Well, this was good, Jacobs. Thank you for taking the time coming on. I mean, man, this is, you know, we're catching up with just about everyone we possibly can on this podcast and just add you to the list and find out what's the road to the NFR like.
Yep.
And it's,
well, we hope you listen to it. We hope you share it. Let all your friends know that
you
were the celebrity on the show this week. So
got it.
Yeah, well, we'll look to try and get you back on, or even if possibly maybe during the rodeo,
absolutely,
we could maybe talk to you and your brother.
There you go. Thank you, my friend. You are the best. We respect everything that all the contestants do, especially yourself, and look forward to speaking with you a little later down the road.
Sounds great. Y'all take care.
All right. Thanks, Jacob.
All right. That is it for episode 9 of NFR Extra. We're out of here.
We got to give a big thank you to our guest on this week's show, Mr. Wayne Brooks, Jacobs Crawley, and Kelly Kaminsky. Man, did they tell us and share some good stories.
Yeah, it was time well spent.
Yeah.
And a lot of learning there on a couple of things that are going on in the junior circuit, and had no idea about pole bending. Now I do. It was fantastic. And Jacobs, man, I could spend hours talking to that guy.
Listening to him and his story about his brother Sterling, right?
Woo! Yeah, they got a good combo going there. Well, hey, join us in a couple of weeks for episode 10 of NFR Extra. And remember, share with your friends. Let them know if you love what you're listening. Well, let's get them in on this too.
Yep. Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the Rovers and the Racers and the Bulls and the Browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight Wranglers and the cowboy hats. And it don't get no